Good morning. I am incredibly nervous, so you'll have to bear with me. But I've been told the more nervous you are, the more important the message. This message has been on my heart for this church for probably the last 6 or 8 months. And I'm excited about being able to finally deliver it. Richard tells me to cure my nervousness, I should imagine you all naked. I'm not going to do that because I've not long had breakfast. I've noticed the different churches that Diane and I have been part of over the last 10 years or so, I've noticed that there's been an increasing lack of adherence, if you might say, to what would normally have been basics in the Christian calendar, like Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday quite often goes past without barely rating a mention. And I think it's one of the most exciting days of the Christian calendar. Palm Sunday is a very special day indeed. Because if we read Exodus chapter 12, we find out what the Jews needed to do to prepare for the Passover that was coming. And they had to get a young lamb, male, without blemish. And they had to pick the lamb on this day. What is Palm Sunday? To prepare it for its slaughter the following Friday. So, Passover, in the Jewish mind, and today in particular, was the day that the lamb was picked. And Jesus comes into the scene on that day, suggesting that Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day was not simply a triumphant king arriving on a donkey, but God saying to the world, "Here is my lamb. Will you pick him?" And I think Jesus is also wondering whether the crowd has actually realized who he is. Passover season was a season of freedom, and it was a season that was there to celebrate the freedom that the Jews had by getting out of Egypt and out from that bondage. And what would happen around Passover would be there would be so much feeling in the city of Jerusalem that a Messiah was coming, that Josephus records in his history writings that there were incidents that would occur on the Mount of Olives. Somebody would appear, declare themselves as Messiah, go up to the city, a riot would ensue, the Romans would release a garrison down from the Antonia, and a slaughter would occur. And that would be that. So the people in Jerusalem were on edge. They wanted a Messiah. They wanted freedom from the Romans. And their expectation level rose incredibly at Passover. So Passover was a time of great tension. And when Jesus enters Jerusalem, I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 37. Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in loud voices for the miracles that they'd seen." Now, I want you to picture this scene. This is an incredibly risky thing for the disciples to be doing, especially at this time of year. John says that the crowd started shouting Hosanna and waving palm branches. Why palm branches? Palm branches to a Jew of Jesus' time were a sign of independence and freedom. The last time palm branches had been used by the Jews was on their coins from back in the time of the Maccabees, when they were free and had their own coinage. This was not something that they were, they weren't looking for a Lamb of God to come into the city. They were wanting a political freedom. And Jesus, as he proceeds, sees what's going on, and he stops. Now Jesus, as he walked through life, was as human as you and I. And you could look to Salvation Army Doctrine number 4 to see that that's the case. Not that we want to override the Bible in that, but Doctrine 4 tells us that we believe that that in the person of Jesus Christ, the divine and human natures are united, so that he is truly and properly God and truly and properly man. So being truly and properly man, he had all the same emotions and feelings and actions that you and I have, without sin, of course. Now, one of the things that Jesus did to show his humanness was to cry. And in the Bible, we have two recorded episodes of Jesus crying. One is when he was arrived at Bethany, and Martha came running out to meet Jesus. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Then Mary comes out. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was very moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid them?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. The Greek word that's used for this weeping is to weep quietly, without sound. Here was Jesus. He had already announced that he was going to raise Lazarus from the grave. But he looks around and sees his grieving friends, full of sorrow, full of anguish, and he weeps. I want you to see Jesus as that sort of God. What does God do at funerals? He weeps. He feels the hurt, he sees the pain, and he cries. God comes to you in hurting times and cries for you. A week later, here is Jesus entering Jerusalem. His battle plan is not a political one. His battle plan is to become a sacrifice to bring freedom to everyone. He looks around, hears the excited shouts of Hosanna, the waving of palm branches, which is a political statement, and he stops and he cries out loud. Can you imagine what the crowd must have thought? "We just declared this guy king. And here he is crying." Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 19:42-44. "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone unturned because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Why did Jesus weep? He heard the shouts of "Save us, Hosanna," saw the waving palm branches, looked into the future, and he knew that if people sought peace and freedom in that sort of way, what the end result would be. I have a question for you. How does Jesus cry for you? In a sense, he cries for everybody. If you love him and you know him as your friend, then he hurts because he cries because you are hurting. If you don't know him, he weeps for the fact that you don't know him. Why does Jesus cry for me? Does he cry because I'm hurting? Because of something I've done wrong, or I've lost someone I love? Or does he weep bitterly because when he came as a lamb to die on a cross, I missed the point? Jesus came on Lamb Selection Day saying, "Yes, I am the king, but I'm going to become a servant. And that is how my kingdom will come." How does God weep for you? Can we go back to "There Is a Redeemer"? As we sing this song, you might like to just contemplate that question again in your own mind and life. Does God cry for you because you're hurting? Or does he cry for you because you don't know him? Amen.